Verlana, I'm Paula.
Verlana. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, and are you playing against the aliens there on your computer?
No, I don't know how to play computer games. In fact, my computer and I have a very strained relationship most of the time.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
It's very sad. All I wanted to do is take my palms in and then give them back to me after
right.
I've changed them a bit. And sometimes it eats my palms or they go off into the ether somewhere.
Yeah. It's bizarre, isn't it?
It is. It's frightening. Especially something you work on.
You always start off with a pen?
Always, no. Always a hand draft.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Like,
long hand.
And I'm sitting like this in my bed, leaned against the wall with the notebook propped on my thighs and writing. And then but first you have to have something to write about.
Yeah.
The discipline that I know I have gotten away from, it's as rigid as ballet training. And you never drop it. However lazy person that I am, I've let it go astray. But there were many years when it was all, and I learned these in classes from poets at Portland State and other professional poets who would come through and give workshops. But you write every day. There's no such thing as writer's block. If you don't feel like writing, you write anyway. Flashlight and notepad by your bed, because you won't remember the dream you woke up from. And let's see, one person did a whole discipline for me. He had me keeping three different kinds of journals and to write a poem in a form every single day. Well, for a long time when I was working, I worked as a social worker. We had to be at the office at 8, and nobody was up. None of our clients were up. Not much was happening in the other agencies. So I would sit at my desk and write, not automatic writing or just free writing. I've never gone back to that stuff. I'm sure there's 1,500 pages without a single image.
Wow.
But it kind of got the whatever junk was in my head. It got it out. And there was no need to go back to it. But I know it was part of learning to write.
I have one question. How often do you wake up in the night with a dream or an image or an idea that you write down?
Not very often.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do, it's usually worth saving.
Yeah.
I woke up one morning, years ago, I woke up with a line in my head. And the line was, I dance September naked in a dream.
Wow,
just
nice.
That, and I don't know where it came from, but I knew enough to save it. And down the line, I did use it as a chapbook title and also title of a poem.
Nice.
And, that'll happen once in a while.
Yeah.
I also have a line that I had for years. And I didn't know what to do with it. And again, it just sort of arose. And it was, thank you, Coyote, for the women. And that was because my great-grandfather was known as Coyote Chase. And I guess he was a real kind of, didn't amount to anything. And made his living bounty hunting for coyote and fed his dogs before he fed his children.
Mm-hmm.
This I get from my mother. She really disliked him. Well, just his name, fascinated me. And I'd heard little bits of her. She didn't like to talk about him. But it sort of explained to me something about my grandmother's rage, my mother's rage, and the rage of all the women in the family.
Hmm.
And I finally found a place to put it. Years later.
You mentioned you had as much as 1,500 pages of previous notes you've never looked over again.
Uh-huh.
And that's volumes that you could be mining.
I could be, except I can't find them.
I see.
I don't know what I did with them.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And for a while I thought I wanted them thrown away because I didn't want people to find them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Frank tearing apart the basement storage. And he said, Brenna, there can't be anything that embarrassing in those notebooks. So I think they will just be left to be found with my things.
Is there a time that you can remember well when you had a book that you were reading out in those wheat fields in Idaho as a child? Is there any particular one that really sort of jumps in?
There is one, and I read it over and over and over. It's Betty McDonald's The Egg and I.
The Egg and I.
Really? Which, we're pretty much stuck in the same situation. I'm on a farm in Idaho. She's with a chicken rancher in the Olympic Peninsula, and we both hate it. And I felt a real... She's funny, and she's a good writer. And it doesn't go over too well in poetry circles. You tell them that. It's not, you know, no, I didn't know any Greek bands. And my most influential book was The Egg and I. And it was. Mm-hmm. I probably read that 20 times, if not more. I read it so much I could quote passages from it. And then there was Bringing the Cows Home on Horseback. Just having to memorize Friends, Romans, Countrymen. And I would shout that in all kinds of different voices because I didn't know what the words meant particularly, but they felt so good in my mouth. And the cows, you know, me and the horse and the cows and Shakespeare were riding along.
Just for a moment, returning to your writing regimen, you say you start with longhand and the pen.
Mm-hmm.
In bed, feet up, mm-hmm. tablet against yourself.
The wrong way. The totally terrible way to be sitting with all the aging replacement parts and things that are wearing out. Hard habit to break.
Hmm. Do you write every day?
No.
Yeah. When you do, is there a time of the day that you prefer to write, or that it seems to be right?
Usually, it will be in the morning that I'll feel the most fresh. What happens with me is something will catch my attention, and it can be anything, and I'll get a first line. That, if I'm following that, I'll write on that everywhere. Things will just keep coming up. I'll write a line here, a line there. But it's, you know, for a long time, you know, people talk about the muse. Well, I'm a farm girl. Farm girls don't... That's too uppity. That's uppity and pretentious.
Greek.
Yes. And it always made me feel like it was something wrong with me because I didn't have a muse. I didn't know any of the Greek myths. And finally someone said, well, Verlina, a muse can be anything. It doesn't have to be a vision of loveliness in a floating dress. And then I thought, wow. And I got this line The first line was, "My muse smokes camel straight." And then just we went from there.
When did you first start writing?
When I was a kid.
Yeah?
I think I had pen pals.
You grew up in, what, Idaho, wasn't it?
Idaho, on a farm. And we had, there was this kind of desk arrangement in the living room. The radio was on top. Then there was a, like, sentence that folded down. It had little pigeon holes. So I would sit at that desk and write. Oh, then they had the kind of pens you dipped in the ink well.
Yeah.
And they also had the old fountain pens that that you had to fill up. And I just always wrote. I was corresponding. I had the radio where I heard stories, all the old radio stories. I came from storytelling tradition. And my sister was 11 years older, and I read everything that I could find. And I got some of her college English books.
She was in college, and so did your parents have a library of books? Or?
We had the Red Cross Book of Nursing, which was the first book I read.
Yeah.
And then we had The Power of Positive Thinking.
Norman Vincent Peale.
And then we had something about menopause. and then people would give me books. They would notice that I read books. So sometimes my grandmother would give me books. She was Book of the Month Club. And then come my way. Or once in a while I would have a family member who would give me a book. But I read. I would hide to read. I'd just disappear into a wheat field and make a little nest and read.
Nice. Okay, so what about poets? What do you remember about early poets?
What I remember was Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
And you do know he's on our list of people we'll be interviewing.
Oh my gosh!
I can't wait to play that little scene for him. Oh, who do you remember again?
Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
Coney Island of the Mind.
It made total sense to me. And yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
And it was a great freeing up of the whole writing world, because Allen Ginsberg won his lawsuit. And suddenly we could read Lady Chatterley's Lover and Henry Miller. And I guess we weren't all ruined.
I don't know, maybe we are.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yes.
Wonderful. So do you remember writing your first poem?
Yes, I do. And I was pretty old. I was 32. I had signed up for a community education course through Beaverton High School, and they offered poetry, an evening class in poetry, and it was taught by a retired English teacher. And she was just a kick. She was retired, and she wore high-heeled boots and mascara and false eyelashes. And the first thing I think out of her mouth, she said, "If any of you dare write soft as a baby's cheek, you needn't bother coming to this class. You don't deserve a name. You can have a number." Well, that sort of set the tone. And I loved her. And I just immediately started writing. I remember the first poem I wrote. And I was 32.
And what was the poem?
It was something called Convicted. I'd been at the courthouse and I'd watched this fellow being, actually he was being declared innocent of whatever he'd done. There was no one in the courtroom. He didn't understand what the judge had said, and his lawyer was having to explain it to me. Explain it to him. And there was a sense of just this terrible, terrible loneliness and nobody really caring about this guy. Everybody was gone. And it just struck me. I still have that around.
Another question. Have you ever sat down and written a poem, start to finish, and it was done?
Yes, once.
Once. No revisions needed, just it was there. Yeah.
I never it was a crown of sonnets. You know, 7 sonnets all hooked together. And it was, I remember the title was The Space Between Our Constant Suns. I have no idea what that means, but I was extremely angry at my, in the process of being, an ex-husband. I was furious with him. And I thought, okay, sonnets are love poems. I'm going to write a really hateful crown of sonnets, which I did. I sent it to a buddy of mine in Newport who was involved with a newspaper there called the Gilmore Gazette. And it won a prize there. And then for years, Vaughn would introduce me as the woman who got his magazine shut down because of rather questionable language.
Wonderful.
So, I've forgotten what you asked. Yes, that was a start to finish.
Right.
I wrote it at one sitting. I ran down to River Place where they're having an open reading, read it, made all the men mad. They all got up and read their frigid wives' poem. I wasn't invited back to that reading, series of readings, for years.
You won.
I won. But it had to do with quitting smoking. Somehow that got... I didn't quit smoking at the time. It was at the time where I saw this sort of a slow suicide.
As a poet, how has the advent of computers and email and those things, has it changed anything in the way that you or other poets work?
Well, I can't speak for the other poets. It's helped me a lot, and it's not so hard now. Like, when I started out, I had an electric typewriter, and carbon paper and onion skin. You know, this has made that part of it wonderful. Just a lot easier physically. And not having to make carbon copies and all that antique stuff. Xerox helped a whole bunch. Now, I've often thought I might have a go at trying to compose on computer. I don't think it will work on poetry. One time I took a memoir class, and not too long ago, and I would compose on the computer because of time pressures. It didn't seem to hurt anything. And I haven't gone back and put that short memoir piece together. But I found it really helpful then. Mostly I use it to put things in and then copy them back out. Email, I prefer the telephone, but email helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things I can't do on the I don't know how to do on the computer that I don't try to learn.
Yeah.
If I can get and making copies and printing them out is a wonderful invention.
Yeah. Have you had any experience with other writers, younger writers, beginning writers?
Mm-hmm.
And what words of advice, thoughts do you have for them?
Oh, live your dream.
Yeah.
I taught community education poetry and creative writing for several years. And I would have students, they would say, well, in high school I liked theater and dramatics and writing, and then I became a civil engineer. And I would say, well, fix yourself up so you can always have a day job. Because writing's not going to, you're not going to make any money writing. It'll be a fluke if you do. But live your dream. Remember, you only have one time around. You might as well enjoy it. Okay, keep the day job in mind, but go for your dream. And I think there were students who did that. Also, when I started teaching, I was older, and I had turned my life upside down at 40. Totally turned it upside down and started all over. So there were students who thought they were too old to go back to school and get their master's. Well, they weren't too old. And several of them went back and ended up with master's in writing. Which, you know, that's a delight. Just a delight when that happens. And you never know what's going to fall out of somebody's mouth that influences your whole life. It's happened to me several times. It was so long ago that I know it took me a long time to claim being a poet. I thought it was being presumptuous. And finally I started calling myself a writer. I was at a bar and some guy, you know, the typical, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a writer. And he said, oh, I like horses too. But I couldn't really call myself a poet for a long, long time. I'd been writing about 10 years. I think I was picked up for a speeding ticket. And the officer asked me for my occupation. And I took a deep breath and said I was a poet. And he said, oh, I never got one of those before. So another, you know, you very quickly learn where you are on the totem pole. A physical therapist asked me the same thing. I said, well, I'm a poet. And he said, oh, you don't work. Well, I'm a housewife with a hobby. Oh, that's why my ex-husband is like, oh, geez, it turns out, was not a hobby.
Oh, Verlana, this has been wonderful.
This has been a presentation of The Author's Road, copyright 2011. This program was recorded in Portland, Oregon, July 2011.